Good morning, Audio Boo. It's Wednesday, it's dark and it's raining, and I'm on my way to Leeds today. I had a week off last week and came back and all my chit chills to pot, so I'm not going to Manchester this week. I'm not going to go into it, it's all a bit rubbish in there. A couple of things I was going to talk about. Just been listening to an audio boo by Documentally, talking to a guy called Freaky Fwoof about technology and good karma and recording things, and particularly with technologies for visually impaired people, which kind of it piqued my interest. I mean, that's one positive. Trying to be positive about things for change. Driving into work, it does give me a chance to listen to things on audio boo, and that was a fascinating half hour. So I would recommend following Documentally if you don't already. Just search for Documentally on any social media network, but particularly look on for the audio stuff on SoundCloud and on audio boo, and that's well worth half an hour of your time. But it got me thinking, though, as well, about the technology. Talking to a friend of mine, I'm trying to help her find how to activate the ITV player app on her computer. Now, VoiceOver on the Mac, I've not really used it before, and I really should, because it's very clever. Basically, what it does, if you've not used it, it tells you where your focus is on a web page. It reads that element out, so you can tab through, and it will tell you which menu you're on. And when you get used to it, you can navigate quite quickly through a page. The problem was the program that she wanted to get up had an 18 rating. So what the player app does is pop up a window that says, "I confirm I'm over 18, tick here," and something else to confirm. But the way it works, it's not actually popping up in a proper window, it's a pop-over window that comes up as an unknown element. So as far as VoiceOver is concerned, it can't see it, it's just there as an unknown element. So you've got you don't know that window's there, it doesn't tell you it's appeared. For the sake of it looking slick and being in this sort of clever little bit of technology, rather than having an actual window appear or something that's labelled and it tells you where you are and reads the descriptor on that window, it means it's unusable. You have to sort of know that it's there before you can click in the box. And it doesn't take much, you know. It's not rocket science to make websites accessible. It just needs a bit of thought and following a checklist and then testing it. And it made me think as well. I mean, I'm not really a web developer. I do implement our web app, which is fairly simple. But it's something we really should do. We really should take the time to check that it works with a screen reader. The technology is not that exotic. And, the nice thing with the Mac is completely built in. It's built in on iOS as well. And there are plenty of other ways to do it. I just recently picked up a free app of the day, which is a reading text-to-speech app for iOS that nicely integrates with Dropbox and Google Drive, and you can save web pages to Instapaper and have it read it out. It's not perfect, but it's very useful. So it's one of the, going back to using my time in the car effectively, I do like listening to as well as music and audio podcasts and what have you. I like to listen to the notes that I've got from my Open University stuff, and also I convert my module texts into speech using the text-to-speech on the Mac. But this is another route to make it easy to pick up stuff as speech and listen to it. So yeah, it's useful technology, and as we move away from our focus being on a screen, I mean, I do think that sort of the next leap is using the text-to-speech to read things out, and also to communicate with your device using speech recognition. And it's pretty good, actually, on Siri and the Google Voice, and I think Microsoft have got their Cortana, which I've not tried yet, but I'm quite tempted purely because of the name. That's a way to interact with the device rather than having to pull a sort of fairly substantial sized phone or device out of your pocket. It can stay in your pocket, and you will talk to it via something on your wrist or a Bluetooth earpiece or something like that. So there will be different ways of interacting rather than being focused on a big screen. The other thing I was going to quickly mention today will be, I'll be keeping my eyes following the progress of the Rosetta Pro and the Philae Lander. So I was lucky enough back in the summer when I went to Milton Keynes to the University Student Conference to go to a talk looking at the setup and the involvement of the OU with the project. And they're responsible for for some of the technology on the Philae Lander, for the spectrometer and some of the other bits on it. So it's a fantastic achievement to sort of get this probe halfway across the solar system and put it into an orbit around this comet and adjust the orbit so it can map the surface and measure the gases and dust in the comet's tail. But then they've selected a landing point, and what they're going to have to do is actually drop the lander. It's not a powered descent, it can't correct its course, so they've got to work out the trajectory at the point at which they release it, and then it drops towards the surface at slow enough that it can land softly, and the gravity is so weak that then when it gets close enough to the surface, it has to launch harpoons into the surface of the comet and then screw itself in so it can be like anchored to the surface. And it's a huge, hugely risky thing. There's no guarantee it's going to work. And there was a web chat as well I went to the other day. I asked, well, what's the surface of the comet going to be like? Is it going to be soft or hard or whatever? And they said it's going to be a complete surprise. It could be anything from the texture of candy floss to concrete. But they're hoping it'll be something in the middle, like sort of soft snow. So we shall see. This is happening today. There should be the go for the mission around now. It's about 8 o'clock in the morning. Hopefully, if all goes well, we should get confirmation that it's landed at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Good luck, Philae, and goodwill and good wishes to all the people involved who must be really holding their collective breaths around now. So the traffic's crawling. It doesn't look like I'm going to get into the main office car park. So this is going to be me going around the long route and going into the backup car park this morning. I left my house at 7:10 this morning, and it's now 8:05, so I've been driving for 55 minutes, and I think there's probably another 10 minutes of crawling through traffic before I get to the car park. So it's not a healthy way to live, really. Fortunately, I'm at home again tomorrow, so because the car's got to go in for service, but that's another story. I'll tell you about that another time. I'm not happy with this. I'm not happy with the winter darkness either. But that's a gloomy note on which to finish. And I've got 19 seconds left, so I'm going to talk it out, because it's safer than trying to pause it and stop the audio in the right place. So anyway, I hope you all have a great day wherever you may be, particularly anyone following the Philae Lander, and good luck to you all.